بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد Continue our studies and the work of Abdullah Al-Wadi'iyya Hafidhah Allahu Ta'ala Nasihati Lil-Nisa. The chapter we have been reading from Min Afati Al-Lisan, from the dangers of the tongue, the calamities and the dangers, the ills of the tongue. We have completed the reading in our previous class with regards to Al-Ghiba, Al-Ghiba wa Al-Namimah. In these chapters, the author, she touched on some issues that are related to al-Iman and the proper understanding of the affairs of al-Iman and sincere faith. And as we mentioned in the previous class, that this class, now we will discuss some of these issues in detail. As the author, she has alluded in several places, referring back to some of the works of the Salaf, like Al-Aqidah Tahawiyyah and the Sharh of that, so on and so forth, as a reference, and other works likewise to reference back to get a better understanding of these affairs. So before proceeding in the reading of the text of Nasihati Lin-Nisa, we'll take a class, this class, and possibly the next class also, to discuss some of the very important affairs related to the proper understanding and the correct creed in al-Iman, sincere faith and belief, masalatu al-Iman, the issue of al-Iman. This is a very great issue, al-Iman. And it's a very noble topic. Now, and it's an obligation for every Muslim male and female to learn and to study this issue and to know it in detail and to know al-Iman and the correct faith and the correct creed and belief. Because in reality, this is why the person is created to believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, the Creator, and that which He has commanded His creation to believe in, and to worship Him upon that sincere faith and belief in the manner that He has legislated by way of His messengers, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. The affair of al-Iman, a great affair. It has been narrated by Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا يدخل الجنة إلا نفس مسلمة. This narration is found in Bukhari and in Muslim, that no one enters the paradise except for a Muslim soul. Soul, yani illa nafsun muslima. And one narration likewise by Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu, collected by al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, illa nafsun mu'mina, except for a believing soul. Illa nafsun mu'mina, illa yadkhulul jannata illa nafsun mu'mina. Rather, whenever after the conquest of Mecca, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent Abu Bakr to make Hajj, and likewise he sent Ali with him after him. And one of the things that he was commanded to proclaim in those days after the conquest of Mecca, to clarify and to call to out loud and to inform the mushrikun and everyone in Mecca at that time, لا يدخل الجنة إلا نفس مؤمنة, that no one will enter the paradise except for a believing soul. One thing to mention in the beginning is that we have these two terms, al-Islamu wal-Imanu. Al-Islamu wal-Imanu. Al-Islam wal iman. These are legislative terms, and they have a proper understanding. And the ulama, they mentioned that these terms are from those terms that if they are mentioned together in one context, they have different meanings. But if they are mentioned separately in a context separate from each other, then each one contains the meaning of the other one. Each one has its own meaning, and also included in that meaning is the meaning of the other term. Naam, so whenever the word al-Islam is mentioned, then what is being referred to here are al-a'mal al-zahira, the outward apparent actions. Like the statement on the tongue of shahada and la ilaha illallah, wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and like establishing the salat and performing the zakat, and likewise fasting the month of Ramadan, and also making the pilgrimage to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These have been described as al-Islam, meaning the actions that are apparently, that are seen, and they are done outwardly. And whenever al-Iman is mentioned, then what is being referred to is the inward actions, al-A'mal al-Batina, the inward actions of the heart of belief, al-Imanu billah, believing in Allah, wa malaikatihi, and His angels, وَكُتُوبِهِ, and His books, وَرُسُولِ, and His messengers, وَلْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, and the last day, وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّ, and also believing in the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, the good of that and the bad. So we see that whenever these terms are mentioned together, this is what is being referred to like this. Whenever they are mentioned together, then al-Islam refers to those outward actions, and al-Iman refers to the inward actions. Naam. Whenever they're mentioned together. For example, in the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with his companion Jibreel, he came to them in the form of a man, and he asked about Islam, and he asked about al-Iman, and he asked about al-Ihsan. So this is an example of the term al-Islam and the other term al-Iman being mentioned together in one context. At this time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he described al-Islam to be those outward actions. As I mentioned, he described al-Iman to be those inward actions. So these two terms, whenever they're mentioned together, they have different meanings. Now, whenever they're mentioned together in the same context, they have different meanings. But whenever they're mentioned separately, then each one includes the other one. So whenever the word, for example, Islam is mentioned, and whenever we say the word Islam, not just meaning the word Islam, but rather the word Islam and the words that are derived from that word, and likewise the word al-Iman and the words that are derived from that word. For example, the Prophet in this narration sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا يدخل الجنة إلا نفس مؤمنة. So here the word Iman is being referred to, the believing soul. But what is included in understanding that likewise the believing soul that applied the actions of Islam. So Islam is understood here likewise, yani that the believing soul is the one who believes in Allah in the last day, that believes in Allah and the angels and in the books and in the messengers and in the last day and in the decree. And likewise they state the shahada and they pray the salawat and they give the zakat if it's obligatory upon them. And likewise they fast the month of Ramadan and they perform the hajj whenever it is obligatory upon them. So here, whenever one of the terms is mentioned by itself, it's included here. The one who is a mu'min, from this aspect, he is a person who prays, and he's a person who gives zakat, and then before that is the person that makes the shahadatain. Naam, so the term is like this. And also in the other term, or na illa nafsun muslima, so the nafs that is muslima, the Muslim soul, is the one that has those actions of Islam, and also they have the belief of al-Iman. So these terms, whenever they are mentioned alone, then they're included together. The meanings are included together. Al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi. Al-Muslim. The word Muslim here is being referred to, meaning this is about al-Islam. But it's not referring specifically to the one who establishes the pillars of al-Islam only, but rather the one who has established the pillars of al-Islam wal-Iman also. And a person will not be considered a Muslim until they establish the pillars of al-Iman as well. So this is one issue to be aware of, that whenever the texts are mentioned, whenever the word Islam is mentioned by itself, then it's also included in it the understanding of al-Iman. Or whenever al-Iman is mentioned by itself, then also is understood the understanding of al-Islam. And whenever they're mentioned together in one context, then al-Islam is referring to the outward actions. And al-iman is referring to the inward actions in this manner. So we see from here the importance of al-iman, and that in reality all good in this life and in the hereafter is based upon al-iman. The good life in this life and also in the hereafter, tranquility and peace, contentment and ease, and the ability to face the trials of this life, and also having success to face the trials in the grave, and also having success from Allah Azza wa Jal to be able to pass the trials of the day of resurrection and to be allowed to enter the paradise and to obtain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. All of this is based upon al-iman. Al-iman. Because a believer, because no one enters the paradise and Allah will not be pleased with anyone except for one who was a believing Muslim, a Muslim that has faith in iman. Naam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has clarified this in many verses in His book, and He has mentioned, مَنْ أَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ. This is the shahid here. وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجَرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. That whoever does or whoever works righteous deeds, whether a male or a female, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ. This is the condition. وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ. The male and the female that works the righteous deeds and he's a believer, or and they are a believer, then we will give them and we will cause them to live a good life. A good life in this life and a good life in the hereafter. Naam, a good life in this life and a good life in the hereafter. So the good life is based upon and cannot be obtained except by way of al-iman. So this is another indication to the importance of learning about al-iman, and that all good in this life is based upon that. And there's no good for anyone in the hereafter particularly. In this life likewise, the true goodness, the real life. Naam, except by way of al-iman, the true contentment and happiness. Al-ghina ghina nafs, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, true tranquility and wealth, richness is the richness of the soul. The richness and the contentment that is found in the soul, and this is only for those believers that Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed them with al-iman. So this issue is very, very important to learn it and to know it properly. And one thing to be aware of is that the people have deviated with regards to al-iman, and the Muslims. Some of the Muslims have deviated from the early days with regards to the affairs of al-iman, and they have misunderstood many of the realities of al-iman. And they have tried to interpret some of the affairs of iman according to their own understanding, or according to the understanding of the Arabic language, or according to their desires and whims and their intellect. And this is not correct, and rather it is not possible. Naam, al-iman, it has been defined by the scholars of hadith. And this is because al-iman is something that is a true reality. It is shar'iyya, it's a haqiqa shar'iyya, it's an Islamic reality. It is a legislative reality, it's something that Allah Azza wa Jal has legislative, and there is no way to know the reality of al-iman except by way of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The reality, the legislative, true, correct understanding and reality of al-iman, it cannot be understood except by the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first case. It cannot be understood by alone the Arabic language only. It cannot be understood by the intellects of the intellectuals. It cannot be understood by the minds of the people alone. Rather, it can only be understood by the revelation of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the first case. In order to understand al-iman properly and to not deviate in that affair, it must be understood according to the Islamic texts that have come in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal and in the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to those great scholars of hadith who have narrated to us the book of Allah Azza wa Jal and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who have transmitted these texts to us. Naam, this is the first issue. That which will clarify this issue, meaning that iman cannot be understood except by way of al-wahyain. What does that mean, al-wahyain? Ma hum al-wahyani? Al-wahyu, al-Qur'anu wahyun, wa as-sunnatu aydan wahyun, fahuma al-wahyani. The two revelations. The Qur'an is wahyun, revelation. Naam, and also the Sunnah is revelation. So this is the Al-Wahyan. Naam, so we cannot understand this reality of Al-Iman, this legislative understanding and correct sound creed and belief of Al-Iman, except by Al-Wahyain, the two revelations that have been revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Qur'anu wa Sunnah, Al-Qur'anu wa Sunnah. Naam, so that which will clarify this and help us to understand how important it is to understand Al-Iman only according to the Qur'an and Sunnah, Allah Azza wa Jal, He has mentioned in His book, and He has said in Surah Shura, Ashura, and the second to the last verse, which is verse number 52, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا. And likewise, we have revealed to you a ruh from our command. And we have revealed to you, meaning like we have revealed to those prophets and messengers before you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا. We have revealed to you a ruh, meaning the wahi. The wahi, Allah Azza wa Jal has described the revelation as a ruh, as a soul. Because just as the bodies, they come to life with a soul, likewise the hearts and the souls come to life with the revelation. So the revelation is like the soul to the body. The revelation to the hearts is like the soul to the body. It brings life. Naam, so Allah Azza wa Jal, first He described His revelation as a ruh, because it brings life to the dead hearts. Then the verse continues, and Allah, He says, مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ. The address here is very important to understand. The one that is being addressed directly is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The one who is speaking to him is his Lord, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ يَا مُحَمَّدُ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. رُوحًا رُوحًا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ. You did not know before what is the book, nor what is Al-Iman. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said this to His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have revealed to you a ruh from our command, and you did not know the true reality of the book, nor of Al-Iman. وَلَكِنْ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُورًا نَهْدِي بِهِ مَنْ نَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. But we have made it a light, and we guide whom we will from our servants. وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And verily you, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are a means of guidance to the straight path. The point here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's addressing His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's informing him that before the revelation came to him, he did not know about the book, nor did he know about Al-Iman, meaning he did not know the details and the reality of Al-Iman and the reality of the shara'i' and the legislations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the halal and the haram, and the manner to establish worship, so on and so forth, and the actions of Al-Iman and the details of Al-Iman. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not know these details until they were revealed to him. Until they were revealed to him. مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ. You did not know what was the book nor Al-Iman. نعم وَلَكِنْ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُورًا نَهْدِي بِهِ مَنْ نَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. But we make it a light and we guide whom we will from our servants. So here Allah Azza wa Jal, He is addressing His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and informing him that likewise he did not know himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all of these realities and details of Al-Iman until the revelation was revealed to him. If this is the case for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then clearly those after him likewise, they do not know the book, nor do they know the realities of Al-Iman except for by way of that revelation. By way of that revelation that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam. In this verse, Allah Azza wa Jal, He has described the revelation as being a ruh, because it gives life. It's a means of life for the souls and for the hearts to come to life, the true life. And likewise, Allah Azza wa Jal has described this revelation to be a nur and a light, because it is a guidance. And just as the people used light to be guided in the darkness and the path, likewise the believers, they used the Quran and the Sunnah, this revelation, as a light to guide them through the darkness of ignorance and the darkness of shirk and disbelief and the darkness of innovation and whims and transgression. This is a light for them they are able to see. This is a light for them they are able to see by way of this revelation. Naam. In any case, we see that the evidence here is that no one can know the reality of Al-Iman except for by way of revelation. Except for by way of revelation. This is something that is al-iman huwa haqiqatun shar'iyyah. And there's no way to know about that reality, the reality of al-iman, except for from the revelation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Ma kunta ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tadri ma al-kitab wal al-iman. Nani, before that. Naam. Likewise, that which clarifies this issue to, again, nani, we can consider this class a muqaddimah in the issue of mas'alat al-iman. Before we go into the details, we are going to work our way up to this. That way that it will be clear for us, insha'Allah. And I ask Allah to make it beneficial for me and for you, and that we will be able to understand this reality and benefit. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill our hearts with sincere faith and iman, and to allow us to have the proper creed and belief, and to know Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to believe in the manner that's pleasing to Him. Also, from the issues that clarify that al-iman, it must be understood and can only be derived, the understanding can only be derived from the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, what has been narrated from Abdullah ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhuma. This is found in Bukhari and in Muslim. Likewise, it's been collected by Abu Dawood wa Tirmidhi, also by Nisa'i and Imam Ahmad. This narration is about the narration of Wafd Abd al-Qais, the delegation of Abd al-Qais. Abd al-Qais was a qabila, and it was a tribe. And around the 8th year of the Hijrah, they come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to ask him for guidance, and they believed and they want to ask, and they came to learn. They came to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Whenever they came, they mentioned that they have some enemies from the mushrikeen that block them from coming to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam throughout the year, and they're only able to make it in the sacred months. So they don't have the opportunity to come. So they sent a delegation in the sacred months, and they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to learn. He said they asked for him to teach them something that they can go back, that they can learn and they can apply with, and they can apply, and they can also go back and teach their tribesmen. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ibn Abbas, he said, أمرهم النبي sallallahu alayhi wasallam بالإيمان. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam commanded them with al-Iman. Who are these people? They are the from the tribe of Abd al-Qais, and they are the original Arabs. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the point here is that they are those people who understand the Arabic language. They are people who understand the Arabic language, and in these days, those Arabs, they were of the most eloquent of the Arabs in understanding the language of the Arabs. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam amarahum bil iman, and then he said sallallahu alayhi wasallam atadruna mal iman, do you know what is al iman? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he commanded them with al iman. Then he asked them, do you know what is al iman? They didn't, how did they respond? They didn't respond, of course we know what iman is, of course we know this word is very well known to us. Rather they said, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. They said, Allah and His Messenger know better what is iman. Because they understood that this is not the iman in the language of the Arabs, but rather this is iman according to the revelation and according to the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, الإيمان شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة وصوم رمضان وأن تعطوا الخمس من المغنم. Here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, al-iman is to testify that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and that you establish the salat, and that you perform the zakat, and that you fast the month of Ramadan, and that you give a fifth from the war booty, that you give a fifth from the war booty. This narration is collected by Bukhari and Muslim, as I mentioned before, and other than them from the books of the Sunnah. The point here is that those people, they are the original Arabs, and whenever they're asked about iman, they said, we don't know. Allah and his messenger know better. And this is the reality. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he clarified for them al iman in this narration. He mentioned that al iman here is the pillars of al-Islam. So this is again an indication, whenever the word iman is being mentioned, it's included in this. Likewise, the pillars of Al-Islam and the pillars of Al-Iman. They're included. The one who testifies there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he established the prayer, and he gives the zakat, and he fasts in the month of Ramadan, and he makes the pilgrimage to the house. If he did not believe in Allah correctly, it would not be accepted from him. Or if he disbelieved in the angels, it would not be accepted from him. Or if he disbelieved in one of the messengers, or in the book, or in something from the books, then he would not be a Muslim, and it would not be accepted from him. So these two terms, whenever they're mentioned alone, they're included together. They're included together. From every Muslim must believe in the pillars of Iman. And every mu'min, believer, must establish the pillars of Al-Islam. This is the fundamental issue for a person to enter into the fold of Al-Islam. The point here is, again, that this term, Al-Iman, cannot be understood except according to the legislation, except according to Al-Wahyain, except according to the Qur'an, and according to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This issue was well known and established. This issue was well known and established. And the companions, they learned Al-Iman from the Quran and from the Sunnah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was revealed to him, the Quran, and it was revealed to him, the Sunnah, and the details of Al-Iman were clarified to him sallallahu alayhi wasallam as a revelation. It was revealed to him, these affairs. Rather, Jibreel came to him, even his companions seen him, and he asked them, what is Iman? What is Islam? And it was clarified. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the companions, they learned that directly from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then after that, those companions, they taught their students after them, radiyallahu anhum, and they were upon clarity, and the creed was established, and it was known. And it wasn't until in the end of the generation of the companions, whenever people started disagreeing about Al-Iman, and people had deviated in the issue of Al-Iman. Before that, Allah, whenever the companions in the time of Abu Bakr and Umar, so on and so forth, there was no deviant sects with regards to this. There were those people who made the ridda and they left Islam, and they were battling for this aspect. But as for the deviations in creed and in aqidah and in iman, this did not appear until the end of the generation of the companions. So they were upon clarity in their creed and their belief and in their faith. And then after the fitna occurred and the appearance of the Khawarij came in the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu, and then after that the Rafidah, so on and so forth as well, from in the time of Ali after Uthman radiallahu anhuma, at this time the people deviated in their creed, and the Iman had been in the hearts of some people corrupted, and they had started to interpret Iman according to their own understanding, and the fitna occurred. And this is what Muhammad ibn Sirin, he's referring to in that narration that is well known, collected in the Muqaddimah of Sahih Muslim, that whenever he said, لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَسَّلُونَ عَنِ الْإِسْنَادِ, that they did not used to ask about the chain, of the narrations. Where did you get this narration from? فَلَمَّا وَقَعَتِ الْفِتْنَةِ قَالُوا سَمُّوا لَنَا رِجَالَكُمْ. But whenever the fitna occurred, they said, tell us who your narrators are. Tell us who your narrators are. Whenever the fitna occurred, meaning whenever these deviant sects entered and they deviated in their creed, and people were ascribing to Islam, but they had corrupt creed. They had the creed of the Khawarij and the creed of the Mu'tazila and the creed of the Murji'a appeared, and the Rafidah, these false and corrupt creeds appeared amongst the Muslims. At this time, there's fitna. And now it's an obligation to ask, where did you get this narration from? Because we won't accept narration from people who have the creed of the Khawarij. And we do not accept our religion. And we do not learn our deen from the people who have the creed of the Mu'tazila. And we do not take the narrations, nor do we learn our religion from the people who are Murji'a, or Qadariya, or Jahmiya, and so on and so forth. سَمُّوا لَنَا رِجَالَكُمْ. This is what Muhammad ibn Sirin, he said that they used to say. They used to say, he's referring to his mashayikh, and his mashayikh would be from the big tabi'een, the kibar tabi'een, and from the sahaba, Rather, Ibn Sirin, he took from Anas and also from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He died in the year 110. So we see at that time, whenever this fitna occurred, meaning the deviation and the ummah divided, it separated, and the creed and many people deviated with regards to the creed, at this time the people started to clarify, where did you get this narration from? Now, and then the Ibn Sirin, he said, so they said, فَيُنْظَرُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ فَيُؤْخَذُ حَدِيثُهُمْ وَيُنْظَرُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْبِدْعِ إلى أهل البدعة ولا يؤخذ حديثهم. So they would look now, after this fitna occurred and the deviation and the separation and the dissension occurred in the ummah, meaning in the creed and their methodology, they would look to the people of the sunnah and they would take their narrations, and they would look to the people of innovation and they would not take their narrations. All of this is very important to understand al-Iman. This is how we must understand al-Iman. Like Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah ta'ala, we look and we take it from the sources and from those people who carried those narrations to us. Al-Iman is understood according to the understanding of the people of hadith, those who narrated these narrations to us, not those who came later and deviated in their creed. فَلَمَّا وَقَعَتِ الْفِتْنَةِ قَالُوا سَمُّوا لَنَا رِجَالَكُمْ. Whenever the fitna occurred, many of the deviation in the creed occurred, and the people had many different creeds and corrupt ideologies, and now they said, tell us who are your narrators. Tell us who are your, where did you learn this narration from? Where did you get this hadith from? You're ascribing this to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who did you hear that from? Who told you this narration? We want to verify that. Because this is about deen, this is about creed, this is about belief. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, likewise, he in his sunnah, he has clarified that this division will occur. And he has clarified sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the division will occur, and he has also mentioned the way to be successful and the proper methodology to abide by with regards to this dissension and this separation. It has been narrated from the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, warning the ummah, إِنَّ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ افْتَرَقَتْ عَلَىٰ إِحْدَى وَسَبَعِينَ فِرْقَةً. That verily the children of Israel, they have divided and separated into 71 sects. وَإِنَّ أُمَّتِي سَتَفْتَرِقُ عَلَىٰ ثِنْتَيْنِ وَسَبَعِينَ فِرْقَةً كُلُّهَا فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا وَاحِدًا. In verity, my ummah will divide into 72 sects. All of them will be in the hellfire except for one. وَهِيَ الْجَمَعَةِ. And it is the jama'ah. And it is the jama'ah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us that this fitna would occur, and this division would occur, and that the ummah will be divided. What is their source for this division? The source for this division is the creed. Whenever they differed in the creed, they become divided in their bodies. And this is the means for the dissension and separation and the iftiraq in the ummah. Whenever these people, they did not take their creed and learn al-Iman from the proper sources. From the proper sources. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he mentioned about this narration, and he said, al-jama'ah, مَنْ وَافَقَ الْحَقِّ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ وَحْدَكَ. That the jama'ah is the one who's in accordance with the truth, meaning the Qur'an and the sunnah, even if you are alone. Even if you are alone. Ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned likewise that the jama'ah is Abu Bakr and Umar. Abu Bakr and Umar. If you want to, the saved sect, the one who is safe from deviation, the one who is safe from being thrown in the hellfire from those deviant sects of the Muslims, they're the ones who follow Abu Bakr and Umar. They're the ones who follow the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam according to the understanding of the companions and those who carry those narrations through the generations. Meaning the scholars of al-Hadith. The scholars of al-Hadith. This is where we must take our creed from, and we must learn Iman in this manner. Likewise, it has been narrated from Thawban radiallahu anhu in Sahih Muslim that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق لا يضرهم من خذلهم حتى يأتي أمر الله وهم كذلك. This narration here is found in Sahih Muslim by the narration of Thawban radiallahu anhu. But this wording is found in Bukhari as well. And similar wordings like this in the books of the Sunnah. A very authentic narration. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that there will always remain a group or a party from my ummah that will be victorious and apparent. Victorious upon the truth, and no harm will come to them, from those who abandon them until the command of Allah comes and they are upon that. Until the command of Allah comes and they are upon that. So we see in the previous narration that the ummah will split, but there will be one group that is saved. The ulama have mentioned, they have called them al-firqah al-najiyah. Al-firqah al-najiyah. The saved sect. The saved sect. Naam, and likewise, this is referred to here, that there will always remain a group. There will always remain a group. The Muslims, they will be divided. Where will they divide? In their creed and in their methodology. But even though that is the case, there will always remain a group of them who are victorious upon the truth. This is the glad tidings from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق. They will be victorious upon the truth, triumphant upon the haqq. لا يضرهم من خذلهم. No harm will come to them from those who abandon them and leave them. حتى يأتي أمر الله وهم كذلك. Until the command of Allah comes and they're in this manner, and he's victorious and triumphant, holding fast to the truth, holding fast to the haqq. From those great scholars of hadith, Ali ibn al-Madini, he died in the year 234. From the mashaykh, the mashaykh of al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he said about this narration, whom ahlul hadith. Who was that victorious sect? Who was the jama'ah, the one that is not going to be in the hellfire? Who is that party that will remain from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the correct belief and the correct creed? Their iman is the iman that is according to the iman of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, and they will be victorious upon the haqq until the day of judgment comes. Ibn al-Madini, he says, Hum ahlul hadith. Hum ahlul hadith. They are the people of hadith. The people of hadith, referring to the narrators at that time and the scholars of hadith in his time. He died in the year 234, so this is the time of narration. This is the time of narration. He's referring to those great scholars of al-hadith in those days, that these are, this is the victorious sect. And these are the ones who will be steadfast and victorious upon the truth until the command of Allah comes. He says, "Hum ahlul hadithi walladhina yata'ahaduna madhahiba rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wiyadhubbuna anil ilm." He said, Ibn al-Madini, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that the people, the victorious group and the saved sect, they are those scholars of hadith. They are those scholars of hadith that have preceded him, yani. And they are the ones who check and verify the methodology and learn the methodology of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they are the ones who are defending the knowledge. And if it was not for them, meaning that if Allah did not, it was not for the fact that Allah has sent them, then the Mu'tazila and the Rafida and the Jahmiyyah and the people of Irja, they would never find anything from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would never have anything from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning, it's the people of Hadith; they're the ones who carried and narrated these narrations. And then later, after them, it is these deviant people who have got these narrations from the people of Hadith, and they have deviated in their understanding away from the people of Hadith. And if it was not for the fact that Allah Azza wa Jalla has sent the Ashab al Hadith to carry and to learn and to transmit and to verify these narrations, then the people of deviation would have nothing to look at or to read from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To clarify that even the people of deviation, they rely upon the way they obtain the narrations from the people of Hadith. If it was not for them, then they would have no narrations in the first place to misinterpret and to misunderstand. So the way to understand those Hadith and these narrations is the way of those who have transmitted them. Is the way of those who have carried them and learned them from generation to generation and transmitted them. This is the point from the narration. Likewise, al-Bukhari, he mentioned as well, rahimahullah ta'ala, that this people who are victorious, that group that is victorious until the day of resurrection, or whenever until the command of Allah comes from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-Bukhari, he said, yani ashab al-hadith. Meaning they are the companions of Hadith, and the people of Hadith. These are people who lived and died before the year 300. Before the year 300, over 1,000 years ago. They're saying that whenever he's referring to Ashab al-Hadith, wa Ahlul Hadith, meaning those narrators who have transmitted the Hadith to us. Those narrators who have transmitted the Hadith to us. Naam, at Imam Ahmed, likewise, rahimahullah, he has said about this narration, these people of the victorious sect and the saved sect. Who are they? Imam Ahmad, he said, إِن لَمْ يَكُونُوا أَصْحَابَ الْحَدِيثِ فَلَا أَدْرِي مَنْ هُمْ. If this saved sect and this victorious group from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not the people of Hadith, then I do not know who they are. If they are not Ashab al-Hadith, Imam Ahmad, he said, rahimahullah, then I do not know who they are. And the point in this is to understand that whenever we want to know, or whenever we realize that the only way to understand the issue of al-Iman is from the Quran and from the Sunnah, likewise it must be understood according to this way. Not according to our desires and to our whims, or to so-and-so's desires and whims, or the likes like this, but rather according to that understanding of those great scholars of Hadith who have transmitted to us the Quran and who have transmitted to us the Sunnah by chain back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we see that Ashab al-Hadith, they are the ones who have carried the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal to us. They are the ones who have traveled throughout the lands, and they have went to great hardship, giving their life and their wealth and their souls to collect the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and transmit it in this manner. And likewise, they have given their lives and their souls also to defend the creed of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we know about the fitna that occurred with Imam Ahmad whenever they tried to introduce many great innovations into the Iman and the creed of the Muslims whenever they said that the Quran was created. Iyadhan billah. This is an affair of Iman, and this is a fear of Aqidah and Tawheed and Creed. But they stood firm and they defended the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they defended the Creed and the Iman of the believers to clarify the truth and the Haqq. And it's because of this we see, it has been narrated from Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 161. From those great scholars of Hadith, he said, Al-Malaikatu Hurrasu As-Sama' وَأَصْحَابُ الْحَدِيثِ حُرَّاسُ الْأَرْضِ, that the angels, they are the guardians of the heavens, but the people of Hadith, they are the guardians of the earth. They are the guardians of the earth. Again, these are narrations that have been narrated from men who lived and died well over 1,000 years ago. So whenever we're speaking about Ahl Hadith, Ashab al-Hadith, it's not some sect or some jam'iyya organization that we can find in this land or in that country, or some, the name of some masjid. La, these people who are, they're referring to those narrators who had narrated on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam with chain until the books were collected, until Bukhari was collecting, his book was collected, and Muslim, his book was collected, and Abu Dawood, his book was collected, and until At-Tirmidhi, and also An-Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, until his book was collected, and after them Ibn Khuzaymah, Ibn Hibban, and Hakim, At-Tahawi, and other than them from the scholars of Hadith, and Bayhaqi, before there, these are people who narrated the chains in these books, and this is their interpretation, and this is their understanding. And this is their interpretation, and this is their understanding. This is the way to learn Al-Iman, and this is the way to learn Al-Islam. It is the religion that they have transmitted to us from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from his companions to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They are the transmitters of Hadith. They are naqalatul Islam. They are the ones who have transmitted al-Islam, and they were upon the correct creed and the correct deen, and they were upon the correct methodology, and they were upon the correct Islam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Allah completed this religion, and He has perfected His favor, and He is pleased with Islam as your religion. But the Islam of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions, not the Islam of the Murji'a, nor the Islam of the Mu'tazila, nor the Islam of the Khawarij, nor the Islam of the Qadariyya, or the Jahmiyya, or the Tablighiyya, or the Ikhwaniyya, or the other deviant sects. La, not that Islam, rather the Islam of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions, and the Islam of Ashab al-Hadith, and the Islam of Ashab al-Hadith. This is very important to understand, and that this creed has been collected and has been defended in this manner from the narrators of hadith until the time whenever the hadith were collected in books. Before that, there were the books were few, and then these narrations were gathered and collected by Bukhari, and then collected by Muslim, and collected by Abu Dawud, and collected by Tirmidhi and Nisa'i and Ibn Majah and the other scholars of hadith likewise that are maybe not so famous to the majority, but they were collected and gathered in these books, and then these books were collected and narrated after them. Also, because of the, and these are within books with regards to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in general, and also with regards to creed. But there were books that were collected likewise, particularly with regards to creed, because of the deviant sects had given such effort to call to misguidance and to call to their deviation, that the scholars of hadith, they have written books particularly, specifically in the affairs of creed and aqidah. And these books are known as Kutub al-Aqaid al-Musnada. Very important for a believer to know about these books. Kutub al-Aqaid al-Musnada. These are the books of the creed of the Muslims, the creed of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that have been transmitted to us by way of chain. And there were scholars of hadith that defended the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they collected the affairs, the narrations that clarified the affairs of creed and belief and iman, and also manhaj and the methodology, and they collected these narrations with their chain and then collected them in books and put them in titles and in chapters one after the other, clarifying the proper creed and the proper belief, refuting the people of falsehood and the people of deviation. These books were collected and recorded and transmitted until to us today. These books, any the miza and the virtue of these books is that these authors, they, whenever they mention that we believe in at iman is this, or they said we from iman in Allah and it means this, or the angels and it means this, or we believe in the last day, that means the belief in the mizan, or the refutation of the khawarij, all of the affairs related to at iman, they have written books. And they have made these chapters, and then whenever they mention the issue, they mention so-and-so narrated to me, that so-and-so narrated to me, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said this. And then the next chapter, so-and-so narrated to me, and so-and-so narrated to me, that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said this. And so on and so forth. And these are the books of creed that have been narrated by chain, and that have been preserved throughout the generations, clarifying the clean and the pure creed of the Muslims. And this was, as Sufyan al-Thawri has mentioned, Hurrasu al-Ardi Ahlul Hadith, that they are the ones who are preserving the creed and the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla in the lands, and they are the narrators of hadith. We see, and I'll mention briefly in closing some of these works, so that the sisters can be upon clarity and know them, and also so that we can honor them and strive to be upon their way and know the efforts that they have put forth in establishing and clarifying the proper creed and belief and al-Iman billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, from the first of those books that were collected with regards to clarifying the creed of the Muslim with narrations, with chains, back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a book called As-Sunnah by Ibn Abi Asim, rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 287. Another book after that called As-Sunnah likewise, and this is by Abdullah Ibn Imam Ahmed, rahimahumullah ta'ala. He has another book likewise, also called As-Sunnah. These books, they collected narrations to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, clarifying the proper belief and the proper creed and the proper iman. Likewise, another book after that called As-Sunnah. This is by the companion of Imam Ahmed. His name is, he's famous for Ibn Khalal. Ibn Khalal, he died in 311. He has a great book called As-Sunnah, clarifying the proper creed and the proper belief. But the way that they clarify this creed and belief is by narrating with their chains of back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, clarifying, and likewise back to the companions, clarifying that belief and that creed. After him, another great imam, Al-Imam Al-Ajurri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 360. He has a book called Al-Sharia, a sharia, a great work where he has collected with his chain of narration back to the tabi'een and to the companions and to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, clarifying the proper creed and the proper belief, the proper al-iman, the proper iman. And likewise, after him, there was another great scholar. His name is Ibn Battah, rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 387. He has a book called Al-Ibana, rather two of them, Al-Ibana Al-Kubra and Al-Ibana Al-Sughra. These are the books of the creed. These books have been written and collected specifically in defense of the creed of the Muslims. Aqidah, Al-Aqidah, Al-Islamiyah, Al-Sahihah. With narrations back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, clarifying the proper belief, clarifying the proper creed. After him, even we see another great scholar of hadith. He's famous. He's known as Al-Lalika'i. He died in the year 418. He has a book called Sharh Usul al-Itiqad. Sharh Usul al-Itiqadi Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah, the clarification or the explanation of the foundations of the creed of the people of the Sunnah. And after him, likewise, another great scholar of hadith, Abu Uthman al-Sabuni. He died in the year 449. 449, these are all narrators of hadith. And this is all in the times of al-Riwayah, fi asr al-Riwayah. And he has a book called Aqidatu al-Salaf al-Salih. He died in 449. Aqidatu al-Salaf al-Salih, Ashab al-Hadith. The creed of the pious predecessors, the narrators of hadith. The narrators of hadith. These are the books and these are the sources where the proper creed is derived from. And first from the Quran and from the Sunnah, and then it is collected particularly and defended in these works. In these works, transmitted to us with chains of narration, clarifying and validating the authenticity of the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to the affairs of al-Iman. Al-Iman. From an example of this, I will mention with regards to the definition of al-Iman. Many of us, we have memorized the definition and we know that al-Iman huwa qawlun bil lisani wa amalun wa i'tiqadun bil qalbi wa amalun bil jawarih, that it is a statement on the tongue and a belief in the heart and also actions on the body parts. And we have learned this, alhamdulillah, and this also is correct. But those who have narrated this to us and clarified this to us, they are the people of hadith. They are the narrators of hadith. From an example of that, what has been narrated from Abdurrahman ibn Abi Hatim. Abdurrahman ibn Abi Hatim, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He died in the year 327. His father is Abu Hatim. Abu Hatim, Muhammad ibn Idris, al-Razi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, great scholar of hadith. He died in the year 277. He also, his brother, his name is Ubaidullah ibn Abdul Karim, Abu Zur'ah, al-Razi. And this is, Abu Hatim is the father of Abdurrahman ibn Abi Hatim. And his uncle is Abu Zur'ah. So, Ibn Abi Hatim, he asked his father and his uncle about the creed that they learned from the scholars of hadith. And he said, سَأَلْتُ أَبِي وَأَبَا زُرْعَةَ and مَذَاهَبِ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ فِي أُصُولِ الدِّينِ وَمَا أَدْرَكَ عَلَيْهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ فِي جَمِيعِ الْأَمْصَارِ وَمَا يَعْتَقِدَانِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. He said, I asked my father, Ibn Abi Hatim, Abdurrahman Ibn Abi Hatim. He said, I asked my father, his father is Abu Hatim, and I asked Abu Zur'ah. Abu Zur'ah, this is his uncle. He said, I asked both of them, and they're narrators of hadith. You will find their names mentioned in the chains of narration in the books of the Sunnah. And they are the ones who have collected the narrations and traveled far and wide throughout the lands of the Muslims in their days to collect these narrations. And they have met the ulama. And they have met those who have preceded them and learned from them and collected the narrations. And they are from those who have narrated to us these narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abu Hatim, he asked his father and his uncle about the methodology of Ahl Sunnati with regards to the fundamentals of the deen. Yani Iman, with regards to Iman. Iman is the usul al-deen, the fundamentals of the deen. And what they have learned and obtained from the scholars of hadith and what they have and what they believe in. And what they believe. وَمَا يَعْتَقِدَانِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ الْاَعْتِقَادِ يَنِي الْعَقِيدَ. What is their aqidah? And so he said that both of them informed him that أَدْرَكْنَا الْعُلَمَاءِ في جميع الأمصار حجازا وعراقا ومصرا وشاما ويمنا. They both have informed him that we have met the ulama in all of the lands and in those days in Hijaz, which is Mecca and Medina, in Iraq, and likewise in Misr and Egypt, and likewise in Sham, which is the area of Jordan and Syria in that area, and Yemen. They have traveled to all these lands, and they said that they met all the ulama in those lands. فَكَانَ مِنْ مَذْهَبِهِمْ, and he mentioned that their methodology and their creed, أَنَّ الْإِيمَانَ قَوْلٌ وَعَمَلٌ يَزِيدُ وَيَنْقُصُ, that al-Iman, it is a statement, and it is an action, and it increases, and it decreases. And then they both went on to mention the creed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah in detail. My point here to mention this is that they have clarified here in the very best of generations that al-Iman, it is a statement and it is an action, and that it increases and that it decreases. That this is something that has been transmitted for over 1,000 years. This is not something that has come to us from Shaykh Al-Fawzan or from Shaykh Al-Albani or from Shaykh Al-Muqbil Rahimahum Allah Jami'an. It is not something that has come to us from Shaykh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah or from Ibn Qayyim. It is not something that has come to us from Al-Mizzi or from Al-Bayhaqi, rather even before that. Even before that, by hundreds of years, it is something that they have received, these scholars that I have mentioned have received from this chain all the way back into the narrators of hadith, that this is the proper belief and this is the proper creed and this is the way to obtain it. Rather, Shaykh Al-Fawzan and Shaykh Muqbil and those I mentioned as well, Rahimahum Allahu Ta'ala, wa hafidhullahu Shaykh Al-Fawzan, and the scholars of the Sunnah of today and Shaykh Al-Islam and the rest of them, they are upon that path. They're upon that way, the way of the saved sect, and the way of the correct creed, and the correct belief, and the correct iman. The point of clarification here is to see that we want to study al-iman, where does it come from? Al-iman cannot be understood except according to the Qur'an and the Sunnah. And then, and this is where it's derived from. And then that understanding is not according to the deviant sects or the deviant ways, but according to those narrators of hadith who have transmitted this to us. And we have that chain back to them today, and they are the ones who are successful, and their way is the successful way, and their iman and their creed and belief is the proper creed and belief of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Bidnillahi ta'ala, in the next class we will study some of the details of this issue now. But I just want to clarify this issue and to make this apparent for the sisters particularly, and for those who listen, to understand that al-Iman is a haqiqah shar'iyyah, and it is the means of success, but it must be learned, it must be learned properly from the proper sources, and it must be learned from those and understood as the people of hadith have understood it for ever since it has been revealed. The people of hadith, beginning with the companions, the first people of hadith to learn the narrations from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah increase us all in beneficial knowledge and righteous actions, and fill our hearts with sincere faith and iman. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.